Hello, and welcome to this week's program of Ukraine Calling. I'm Marta Dychok for Hromadske Radio in Kyiv. As always, we're bringing you a feature interview followed by some music. We're going to take a little break from politics this week and look at the interesting things Ukraine has to offer for travelers and tourists. And with us, we have a special guest today, Katie Ward. She travels through Ukraine a lot, so she'll be telling us a little bit about what it's like. Katie has lived in Ukraine for almost 3 years, and she set up this very interesting project called Building Strong Cities. So I want to ask you about your project, but first let's start with, for someone who hasn't traveled to Ukraine and is thinking about doing that, how is traveling in Ukraine different from traveling in another country?
Great question. Thanks for having me on to talk about this. I've been living in Ukraine 3 years, but prior to that, I was traveling to and from Ukraine for work. So I had an opportunity to travel the country as a consultant working, but then as a tourist, I would just stay and explore the city or the country. What's different? Look, Ukraine is a country for people who want authentic experiences and who are not afraid of a little bit of do-it-yourself and a little bit of adventure. No, what I say is, you know, there's some countries where people travel like France, Italy, Germany. It's very safe in terms of you know exactly what you're going to get. And it's predictable. And I think, you know, predictable is a double-edged sword because it can be great and comfortable, but it also can be a little bit boring. Like well, you've seen, you know, you see the same things, you know exactly what's going to happen. And that's not to say in Ukraine it's unpredictable, except here there's so much happening in terms of events, cultural expeditions, that there's a lot of room for serendipity when you travel here, which I think for me, it's the magic when you travel. When you show up somewhere and you have an itinerary.
And suddenly you see something else.
Exactly. And that's like anytime you arrive to Kyiv. Kyiv is so alive in terms of festivals, events, concerts. Almost every weekend in my neighborhood, there's something going on. And I, you know, even as a citizen there, I don't even know because it's promoted on sites I don't see. So you need to be open to going with the flow because you will always find something unexpected.
And how do you find out information? Again, for travelers, that's usually how you find out about these interesting things.
Yeah, and that's a good question because, you know, Ukraine is transitioning into a tourist destination. I think they're realizing their strength. So they're starting to create now these websites and portals where you can find the information. For me, it's Facebook. Facebook is really big in Ukraine. Everybody promotes everything on Facebook. So I would go in and look for events near me this weekend or look for events in the city that I'm visiting, which I found very, very effective. You know, concerts, there's various sites. If you Googled concerts in Ukraine, sites would pop up. So it's not...
So information is actually really easily available in English as well.
Information is easily available in English in most places. If not, you know, Google Translate is fine. But it's good that you raise the question of language because over the past 3 years, I've noticed that English has become a lot more prominent, whereas, you know, the metro stations used to just be in Ukrainian language. And if you're not used to Cyrillic alphabet...
You can't read where you're going.
Yeah, and that's a little intimidating. Yeah. So, but I've noticed now all of the metro stations in Kyiv and in other cities have Ukrainian and the English equivalent, which makes it a lot easier,
to move around.
To move around. And, you know, a city like Kyiv, Lviv, Vinnytsia, Zaporizhia in the east...
Odessa.
I mean, they're all... They're big cities. They're used to tourists. So English is everywhere, even English speaking. You know, I'm learning Ukrainian. And so when I go to restaurants, though, they know that I'm a native English speaker and they reply to me in English. And I say, no, I want to study Ukrainian. But you can find, I mean, language is not a barrier in the bigger cities. It gets harder when you go to smaller, like, villages. But even then, people are so welcoming here that they try to break down that language barrier.
You mentioned restaurants. That's something that when you're traveling, you need to eat. Tell us a little bit about the restaurant scene in the country. Just again, if you're planning to travel to Ukraine, what can you expect in terms of the kinds of restaurants, the types of service? Are the menus, you know, multilingual, just in terms of how people will be able to eat when they come here?
So the culinary scene here is probably top five, bar none. And I travel a lot, and I travel to you know, countries like France, Italy, Switzerland, the food quality and price is incredible. And you can find, you know, in a city like Kyiv, the capital of the big cities, you find diversity in terms of different ethnic foods. But different, if you're coming from North America, here you'll get a lot of Georgian, Turkish,
Crimean Tatar
food, which you wouldn't get in other places. Of course, you know, there's sushi and pizza and pasta and all those things. But the Ukrainian cuisine, I think, you know, a lot of North Americans are familiar with it, you know, in terms of pierogies or vareniki, holubtsi, which is cabbage rolls, and borscht. But there's so much more in terms of the fresh vegetables, the way they prepare salads. So
what's your favorite Ukrainian dish?
Oh, my God. I love Ukrainian food. When I go home now to Canada, I'm actually like, when can I get back to Ukraine? I need a good bowl of borscht and some good salted vegetables. I love the salted vegetables. I think you should have them with every meal. They're incredible. I love...
Describe them for someone who hasn't had them.
Yeah. So, you know, Ukraine is the breadbasket of Europe. And so fruits and vegetables in general taste better here, fresh. And because they're so plentiful, you know, people actually conserve food here. In North America, we use a lot of vinegar to conserve food. And here it's more salt. It's like in a brine. So you would take vegetables and you would brine them, essentially. And you would...
So they're like pickled.
They're pickled.
Right, it's like pickled tomatoes.
Pickled tomatoes, pickled carrots, pickled, cucumbers, onions, garlic, everything. And it's really good. It's very healthy. And it's eaten here a lot with a food called sallow, which we don't have in North America, but I
love. Sallow. Let's talk about sallow.
So sallow, I love it.
Describe it. What is it for someone who doesn't know?
Well, you know, when I tell them, their first reaction is not impressed. It's salted fat, essentially. It's salted fat.
And it's like bacon, sort of.
Yeah. It's like, imagine bacon, except they don't fry it. They salt it and they cure it. So it's a cured meat. And so if you think about, you know, Italians eat prosciutto, also a cured meat. The Spanish eat yemon. Cured meat. So it's cured fat. So there's usually more fat than meat, but it's really good. And if you, you know, you mix it with the salted vegetables or bread or fresh vegetables, and it's rich and really filling. So I love it. Most North Americans come over and they try it, and, you know, they have mixed. Most of them, the texture they have hard to find because it's kind of a texture like cold butter.
That doesn't sound appealing. So I will recommend to our listeners, when you come to Ukraine, try it, and then we'll see what your taste is like, because it is actually a very unique flavor. And some people love it and some people don't. But it's something worth trying.
Absolutely. It is absolutely worth trying. It's like, I think anywhere you go, you need to try the cuisine. But I'll just add on the cuisine that, you know, it's really regional. Across the country, you're going to get different dishes. In the Western Ukraine, they have banish, which is like a corn, like porridge, but they mix it with brinza cheese, which you can only get in the West, and then like bacon, and it's just absolutely incredible. And there's different versions of, you know, vareniki, which are like pierogies, and across the country they vary in how they prepare it. So you can have different culinary experiences across the country, but all very high quality.
You set up this project that you travel with. Build strong cities.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because I think that's what takes you around the country these days.
Yes. Well, I was doing consulting with Build Strong Cities, a company I started working. I've worked now in 12 countries in 60 different cities. And right now I'm full-time in Ukraine with actually a project that's funded by the Canadian government. And I work with 16 cities. And
what are the cities?
Oblasts.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. Oh,
actually, start with the
I'll
oblast.
Start with the oblast. Yeah. Zaporizhia, Poltava, Vinnytsia, and Ivano-Frankivsk.
So that's regionally nicely representative. So you have east, central, and south.
And west.
And west.
And south and west. Yeah, because actually in Zaporizhia is southeast. Mm-hmm. And we are in Burdansk, which is on the Sea of Azov, which is really nice as a tourist destination. And then in the west, we go, you know, Ivano-Frankivsk, Kolomia, Dolina, and Ivano-Frankivsk, the capital there. So, you know, I get to experience the sea, the mountains, the center, plains. It's quite good. My project is on economic development with cities. And actually, in a handful of our cities, we're helping to develop the tourism market.
What are the challenges in developing the tourism market? I mean, what are the sorts of things that you're working with?
Yeah. So, you know, a couple of things. It's service sector in general is new here. There wasn't a lot of people traveling around in the Soviet Union. Now the market is opening up. People are coming in. People have expectations, and they're different. So we're working with the service sector in a lot of our cities to make sure that hotels are set up and serviced in the way that most tourists have. If you're coming from Europe or from North America, what services you're expecting. We're helping them with promotion, just really identifying what sets them apart and how to market and communicate that to people. So we've set up, for instance, in the Yaremcha region.
Which is in western Ukraine,
in
the mountains,
I'm
not mistaken.
You're right. It's near Bukovel, which is a very famous mountain resort area. And we set up an association of hoteliers because they, first of all, had a hard time finding staff, training staff, and keeping staff. And, to get the tourists there and service them properly, you need the customer service. So we are working with them to set that up. And the hotel owners are working together to create marketing strategies, package different tourist, destination marketing. So if you go, Yaremcha in and of itself is small, 7,000 people, small village.
Oh, charming.
It's very charming.
Oh.
It's along the river.
I've never been.
Oh, it's gorgeous. You got to go. But there's so many little villages around there. And so they're now packaging. Like Yaremcha might not in itself be enough to bring you to the west, unless you maybe just want to be pretty still. But you could go a couple kilometers out and go horseback riding, go a couple kilometers out and have ecotourism in terms of mild mountain climbing or in-depth, really difficult, challenging mountain climbing. So they're setting up all these packages so people can figure out, what they want to achieve. Do you want to just lay in a sauna and relax and have banya and enjoy? Or do you want something really physical to climb and to ride horses and all those things? So they're putting together the packages to make it easier for foreigners, especially, to say, I want to go to the mountains and climb a little, sweat a little in the saunas, and eat brinza. and then they'll package it for you.
And how do people find out about this? This sounds fabulous.
So, yeah, a great question. This is also what we're working on with them, because there's a lot of tour operators, actually, in the Ivano-Frankivsk region in particular, because they get a lot of foreign tourism. And so we are trying to find a way for these tour operators to come together and promote, because we say rising tide raises all boats. So, of course, there's competition amongst them, but they need to come together and create the platform. There's no one platform. From my experience, Facebook is the best platform in Ukraine. A lot of even hotels or restaurants don't create websites. They create Facebook pages.
So that would be the recommendation for someone who's thinking, I'd like to travel to Ukraine. I want to go to Yaremcha and try the brinza. So they would go on Facebook and just type in the name of the city or the food or...
Yeah, with the phrase tour operator.
Tour operator.
Yeah. Yaremcha tour operator, Ivano-Frankivsk tour operator, or Google it as well. And that's where you get the info.
Beautiful. Now, you've traveled around a lot, and you must have had good experiences and some adventures. What's the most sort of interesting, bizarre thing that's happened to you in your travels here?
In Ukraine?
Uh-huh.
Around the world?
No, in Ukraine. We can do the world next time.
Oh, yeah. Interesting or bizarre. For me, I like the unbeaten path. There's one little wee village that I discovered. I work in a city called Kolomia. And outside of Kolomia is a little village. There's two, Shashori and Kwasiv. They're very close. And I decided I'm going to Kolomia. Why not check out the villages? I'm going for work. I'll stay. And I went to a little village, and it was a little bit further out than I thought, but that's okay. And, I ended up meeting, I was staying in a little wooden cabin, ended up meeting the neighbors who... I was studying Ukrainian, so I wanted to practice, so I tried talking. Anyway, it ended up being a really beautiful experience of them inviting me into their house, showing me how they live everyday life in the village. They have a cow. The way the woman makes her money is she milks the cow and she makes sour cream and cheese, and she sells it in the market. So it's really agrarian life. And, that's for somebody coming from hyper-urbanized Canada, it's really refreshing to just sit in a village and see people living off the land, participating in this sort of barter market. The next day, her husband offered to take me to the local market, the Kwasib market, which has now become...
It's a very famous market.
Well, I didn't know that. And it has now become, you know, I think I'm Kwasib market's biggest PR person because I've brought now busloads of Canadians there because the authenticity of the products made there, vishivanki, rushniki...
So these are embroideries and woodwork that are sort of traditional for that region.
Exactly. And sheepskins, wool blankets, handmade. And I mean, hand spun wool. So it's like, you know, amazing. And so this was not at all what I was expecting. And then he took me for a walk up the mountains. And we got to the top of this mountain. And in the middle of nowhere, there's a shack. And there's a little old man there, maybe three or four people with him.
And what were they doing?
They were making cheese. This apparently, again, there's so much local knowledge that, you know, it makes sense to come and explore because I would never have found this. Now I can take people there, though. And I have since taken people there. Anyway, he was making cheese by hand, Brinza cheese. And so the way they make it, you know, it's old school technology, wooden buckets. They're beating it, making the cheese. And so we had, you know, we just sat and had a really relaxing day at the top of the mountain eating cheese and tomatoes. And it's just those types of unexpected things you come across here all the time. Now, the irony was this guy who owns a farm making the cheese, his brother lives in Winnipeg. I get
it. So he could be exporting this wonderful cheese and marketing it in Winnipeg.
Oh, yeah. I had such a laugh because I thought I just climbed a really remote mountain in this little, you know, Sheshuri outside of the Kwasib market and met a guy who lives here, zero technology, making cheese, you know, and he's got family in Canada.
And you could Skype call him right from that mountain, probably.
Yes. So, you know, this is like as much as you go far away, you're never that far from the familiar.
Technology is part of our lives now. And I was joking about Skyping from the mountain, but how has that changed or facilitated travel in Ukraine? I mean, again, for someone who's coming, just tell us a little bit about, you know, how communications, what they can expect in terms of what they'll be able to do communication-wise.
Yeah, in terms of communication, you know, IT, Wi-Fi, 3G, 5G is readily available here. It's very inexpensive to buy a SIM card and just pop it in and use it for the time you're here. Although you might not need it because Wi-Fi is pretty much everywhere. You know, if you are taking the unbeaten path route and you go into the mountains, I would suggest a SIM card, which you can buy anywhere, just so you have a phone number so you can call in case there's any challenges.
So that's pretty much like traveling in another country, communications.
And there's so many apps now. I mean, there's one, I'm going to forget the name, but I'll give you enough information, you could find it. I think it's basically called like My Private Tour or My City Tour. And I looked it up here. You would open it, My City Tour, and it geo-recognizes what city you're in. And then there's a list of people who you could hire. It's like hire a local for a tour. And so, you know, I plugged it in and saw there was 15 or 16 people online and I could order them and they have an hourly fee, which is very reasonable in this country. And they would come and show me, give me a personal tour of Kyiv. And so that's brilliant. If you're, you know, don't know the language or the culture, you just go online, get the app. You'll have to Google it. I'm sorry.
Well, we'll post it on our website so that people who are interested can look it up.
Yeah, we'll try to find it because it was brilliant. I just was like, oh my God, because I travel a lot and I thought, this is cool. And it makes it that much more accessible if language, you know, if you're afraid of that.
It's an issue, yeah. It's like if you're in a foreign country not knowing the language, the services are there. I'm going to switch tone here a little bit. There's a war going on in this country. Mm-hmm. It only affects part of the country. This is something that people wonder about in terms of safety and security. Is this something to worry about when you're considering traveling to Ukraine? What would you say about that?
Yeah, it's a hard one to say because I don't want to, you know, belittle the war or play down what's happening there because there's still action, live action. Mm-hmm. But I would say that it's very isolated. It's very isolated to the region. Even I work in Melitopol and Burdansk, very close to the two occupied cities. And even there, you don't really feel it. You feel it more because you see soldiers, you see trucks driving into the front. But otherwise, you don't feel it. It's very, very isolated. And if there's any crime in Ukraine, I don't know the stats, but it's low. And I would say it's very, again, related to a specific thing. Like, mm-hmm. I don't see a lot of just random violence or random crime. A few pickpockets here and there, but you're not going to see that. And so, and the same with, you know, with the war, you don't feel it. And if there's any targeted aggression, it's exactly that. It's targeted.
And it's not targeted at foreign tourists.
It is not targeted at foreign tourists. Not in any way.
If you were going to give me your wish list, I have 2 weeks to travel in Ukraine. What would you put on your wish list?
Oh, my goodness. Kyiv, obviously. Mm-hmm. And you probably need at least minimum 3 days here because there's just so many incredible sights to see around the city. Then I would say Poltava. Honestly, it's a really remarkable city. The architecture there is stunning. You could do it in, you know, two days. You can take a train in and train out the next day. Ivano-Frankivsk. It's a super charming, very dense city with a lot of social cultural activists. So the downtown, it's very dense, very creative, and remarkable history as well. And so then if you're in the West, I would say you need to go check out these little villages around. You know, my favorites are Shashori and Kosiv because I go there every year now, mm-hmm. at least once, maybe twice.
There's a festival in Shashori. Is it still happening? Folk festival or music festival.
I'm not sure about that one.
We'll have
to
look that up. Yeah.
The next place, and I'd say if you're already in the West, go further into like Yaremche, Bukovel region, deeper into the mountains, because I would say Ivano-Frankivsk is pre-Carpathia, so just before the Carpathian Mountains. And I would say go into the Carpathian Mountains so you can really experience that landscape. It's magic. And then, of course, Lviv. On your way out, you know, go up to the mountains, come back down, go into Lviv. Lviv is a gorgeous city. It was once part of the Austro-Hungarian empires and Polish empires. So the architecture there is interesting. And what's also remarkable is, you know, unfortunately, during the Soviet Union, a lot of older cities were sort of destroyed because they
Sovietized,
right? They took down the old
architectural changes.
I think they just, you know, maybe it was too far out or was too difficult to try to change Lviv because it's maintained this
flavor.
Yeah, but even more remarkable, this like Gothic downtown, where in, you know, Gothic cities everything is like a spider's web. There's a center and then everything goes out in circles. So it's really fun and easy to get lost in those old Gothic streets because it's okay. You always end up, you know, there's lots of landmarks. So you know, get a landmark and you know where you need to go. But it's very cool to see like really what an old, old Gothic city would have looked like and how it would have been designed.
When you say Gothic, it sounds scary, is it?
No, I just mean from that time period. So from like, this is not Gothic, isn't scary. Just from, you know, the way that we used to construct cities in the 15th, 16th, 17th centuries.
So lots of interesting places to visit.
Yeah.
And it's changing and it's getting more dynamic. And Katie, you are contributing to that
from the sounds of
it. So thank you very, very much for joining us. We've been speaking with Katie Ward, who knows a lot about travel in Ukraine, and we'll post a link to her project website and all of those interesting suggestions that she's mentioned during our show. I'm Marta Dychok for Hromadske Radio in Kyiv. Thanks for listening. Saltykov Band is a bard rock group. Not hard rock group, but bard rock group, that started playing together in Kyiv last November. They made a little video of their first studio recording and shared it on YouTube. In case you want to see them, we'll post a link to it on our website. The song they recorded was «Ми більше не будемо», which means something like «We're not going to anymore». Some of the lyrics of the song are «Existing is not living», «We're getting up off our knees», «We can't keep quiet any longer». Here's the song. Enjoy. Шукати словам притулку, наш розум саджали за грати. Бо мали ми вільну думку, ми більше не маємо лізти. Туди, куди посилають, туди зайдіть песимісти. Нас не здолають, ми більше не можемо мовчати. Шукати словам притулку, наш розум саджали за грати. Бо мали ми вільну думку, ми більше не маємо лізти. Туди, куди посилають, туди зайдіть песимісти. Нас не здолають. Join us again next week, and we'd be very happy to receive some feedback from you. Follow us on our new Twitter handle, @CallingUkraine, or just search for us, Ukraine Calling, or write to us at ukrainecalling@hromadskeradio.org. This is Marta Dechok in Kyiv. Thanks for listening.